Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report on this Friday morning. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending May 24th like this. Wheat this year, minus 9.1 million bushels. Next year, 35.2 million. Corn this year, 26.6. Next year, 27.1. Soybeans, 12.7 million bushels this year, and 19.5 million bushels next year. The Midwest direct hog markets are called weak to $1 per hundredweight lower today on slow packer demand and a second day of steep declines in wholesale pork prices. Terminals are called mostly steady in a very light volume test to end the week. Tops from $47.50 to $49. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $47.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, May 31st, negotiated swine purchases were 12,358 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $63 to $71.62. The weighted average was $69.39, a loss of $1.47 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $49.74 to $59.10, and the weighted average was $56.57. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 14,541. The base price range was $62.25 to $77. The weighted average, $73.23, a gain of 82 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $47.25 to $60. The weighted average, $57.39. Joining us now in the studio with a look at today's agricultural weather for the weekend is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Well, we have a persistent weather system that has been around the plains and bringing some pockets of heavy rain and even some severe weather across an area stretching from generally the eastern Dakotas down in through northern Texas. That low-pressure area responsible for that weather is expected to make a move towards the Great Lakes over the weekend, not really being pushed along by the jet stream. So some areas across the Midwest, including a good portion of Iowa, western and northern Illinois, and in through Wisconsin, are looking at the potential for at least chances for precipitation right into early next week, and that would start to diminish the expected rainfall across southern stretches of the corn soybean producing areas, including the Ohio River Valley, where things are extremely dry. The southeastern U.S., which has been in some areas, especially across Florida and South Georgia, in extreme drought, watching a tropical system that could bring as much as 4.5 to maybe local rain amounts of 5 inches, not drought buster, but definitely improving soil conditions across that portion of the country. And across the southern plains, where things have been extremely wet, well, that's a trend that looks to continue, with expectations over the next 5 to 10 days bringing as much as 2.5 to maybe 3 inches of rain across the panhandle of Texas in through western Oklahoma. And again, some local areas could pick up in excess of 2 inches of rain. So a big swath of rain across the eastern half of the nation expected over the next week. A couple weather systems, one headed towards the Great Lakes, the other from the Gulf of Mexico headed up towards the southeastern U.S. And it looks like the big loser as far as precipitation will be from the mid-Mississippi to the Tennessee River valleys, where there is expectations of light rain, but some areas will probably pick up over the next 5 to 7 days around 1/4 inch or less. As far as temperatures go, it should be generally cool and wet across the plains, and that will continue to slow down the field work and crop development. Soil moisture abundant to locally excessive for pastures and filling winter grains as well as the summer crops across the plains. Corn Belt showers and thunderstorms generally bringing abundant moisture reserves west of the Mississippi. Further east, a persistent drying trend is starting to cause agricultural problems, including the slow pasture growth and uneven soybean emergence. Conditions especially dry in the Ohio Valley. Some locations reported less than an inch of rain for the entire month of May. And again, the big weather picture over the next several days probably will be the southeastern portion of the country, where showers are already starting to overspread southern Florida in advance of that low-pressure system that's approaching from the southwest. Drought will continue to grip the remainder of the southeast, further stressing pastures and rain-fed summer crops. No measurable moisture fell during the entire month of May at several southeastern locations, and that includes Macon, Georgia. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat opened at 505 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. Last trade up 1 1/2. At the Board of Trade, July wheat opened at 517 1/2, up 1/2. Last trade down 1. December 542 1/4, down 3/4. Last trade down 2 1/2. July corn opened at 390, down 1/4. Last trade down 4 1/4. December 384 3/4, unchanged. Last trade down 4 3/4. March 396, down 3/4. Last trade down 1 3/4. July 407 1/2, down 1. Last trade down 6. July beans opened at 807 1/2, up 1 1/4, and that was down 1/4. August 814, up 1/2. Last trade was up 1/4. November 836, down 1/4. Last trade down 3/4. July soybean meal opened at 216.90, unchanged. Last trade down 40. July soybean oil opened at 35.71, unchanged. Last trade down 2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Dave.
Understand that you just came back from a trip to Mexico. What have you learned?
People down there are pretty upset over what's going on there. A lot of corn replacing a guava. Therefore, tequila prices are expected to go higher. Also, tortilla prices expect to go higher. They're a little bit concerned about that. Also, seeing some barley acres being reduced in Europe, and they are very concerned about Oktoberfest and the price of beer going up by 20%.
Do you think that the Mexican government might be sensitive enough to this to allow import of more U.S. corn without duty?
It's a possibility, Dave. I don't know. You know, I think a lot of this is just talk at this point, although some of the agave has already been destroyed. So, you know, tequila is a very sensitive item in that country and kind of a sensitive item here, too. So, it's, you know, everybody wants to have tequila for Cinco de Mayo.
Let's turn your attention to the markets, and because it's the beginning of a month as well as a Friday,
right,
let's look at monthly charts and tell me what you see on the monthly charts that might give suggestion for price direction for the month of June.
Well, you know, we have some upside potential for corn here. It kind of languishes around that 390 to 395 area, and it's had a real tough time breaking through that. But, you know, that still there's another point up there around the $4 area that depending upon the weather, could be penetrated. Going into this weekend with the weather forecast the way it is, I would assume that corn as a whole is probably going to be a little bit lower to open. It may trade a little higher in some option months during the session, but as a whole, I would not expect it to be up when we close today. As far as soybeans are concerned, I think those pups are about out of gas. We're really struggling. We're about double-topped here looking at the November, and I would not expect much out of them without some kind of a spectacular event. Could be weather.
We did get a new high this week in the Novies, but we didn't get a close with strength, which is probably a technical weakness.
Yeah, well, it is. And when you look at the charts, I mean, it's virtually on the Novembers. It's double topped right now, and it's going to be looking for direction. If I was a technician, I would be saying that we've got a downturn here of probably 60% from around the 760 range to the where we're currently at, 835, somewhere in there. So what is that, 75 cents? So you could be looking at a 40-cent downturn here.
What about the wheat? It's made a remarkable move to the upside in the face of the oncoming harvest.
Well, I think that's the key to the whole thing, Dave. As we move through harvest, are we going to see some higher yields coming out of the west? Right now, you know, Kansas had some 6 and 8 inch rains out there a week or so ago, and some of that wheat's on the ground. So how much of it, I don't know yet what the damage is. Obviously, you get rain on wheat this late when it's turning, you have disease, et cetera. So I think that all remains to be seen. I do think we'll see some harvest pressure, but how much is it going to be? I don't know.
And the wheat call today then would be?
I would call wheat a little bit lower along with the rest of the grains.
Mm-hmm. And about 20 seconds left, just a quick word of advice for producers.
Well, I certainly wouldn't be letting these cash prices get away from me, particularly on soybeans. I would not be unhappy to see a person 40 to 50% sold on this year's soybean crop and maybe 50 to 60% on the corn. Of course, we're already in some of those ranges, you know, when we were spiked up there around $4. So.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Yep.
Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing. You're listening to WILL Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.